We've entitled this message this morning, Choices That We Make. Could we turn to Ezekiel chapter 28? Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 to 17. Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. And Schofield in his notes says that here is a description of Satan in his unfallen state, and that Satan is the inspirer and the unseen ruler of all such pomp and pride that men portray. Turn with me now to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, and reading from verses 12 to 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And Matthew 25 and verse 41 says, the Lord says, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And also in Revelation 20 and verse 10 states that the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And Revelation 12 and 9 describes him as the great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So we see from the scriptures that we have just read that the devil is his name and that deception is his game. The devil is his name and deception is his game. Now this message this morning is entitled Choices That We Make. And we want to see the wrong choice that Lucifer, the son of the morning, the anointed cherub that covereth, made, given that he was the chief person of all God's created angels. His heart was lifted up because of his beauty, brightness, and wisdom. And he made the wrong choice when he said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. In his third study of the tabernacle, our brother Bert covered this passage in Isaiah 14. And Bert said that these five I wills of Lucifer, son of the morning, were a definition of sin. Bert said that another will entered in before that. There was only God's will. And by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. And here we see that when Lucifer, the son of the morning, said, I will, he sinned. Our brother is quite correct, the definition of sin. He sinned against God. He made a wrong choice. And this resulted in God's judgment of him being cast out of the mountain of God. And finally, he will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which burneth forever. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13 reads, For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And as we turn now to Genesis chapter 3, and we read of the fall of Adam and Eve, we want to bear in mind the fact that Adam was not deceived. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. But in this verse, Eve is adding to God's word, because in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God had commanded, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Eve added the words, Neither shall ye touch it. Verse 4, And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Adam, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that I was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall I bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothed them. And chapter 4 and verse 1, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Here we see the great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, tries out his deception upon the woman and succeeds. He wanted to be like the Most High, so he tells Eve that she would not die, but that her eyes would be opened, and that she would be like God, knowing good and evil. God had given Adam and Eve just one commandment to obey, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Eve has a choice to make. Her choice, either to believe God and don't eat of the tree of good and evil, or to believe Satan's lie, that she would not surely die, and to become like God, knowing good and evil. And Eve makes the wrong choice, and believes Satan, and eats of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Thus suffers the consequences of God's judgment. Firstly, she dies spiritually, and eventually, physically. As we read at 1 Timothy 2 and 13, that Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And in verse 17, where the Lord God says to Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Here we see that the choice which Adam made was to disobey God and become a sinner for his bride Eve's sake. Adam chose to become a sinner for Eve. In Exodus 34 and verses 29 and 25, we are told that while Moses talked to God, that his face did shine, and the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil upon his face. Moses' face shone so bright that they could not bear to look upon him. And we read that the Lord God walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. And having been continually in fellowship in the presence of the Lord, we would see that Adam and Eve would shine also. They would be two lights reflecting the glory of God. It would seem that Eve, when she was being deceived by the serpent, that Adam was not present with her. So that when Adam returned to Eve, Eve had already eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and was already a fallen sinner, and knew that she was naked. so that when Adam returned, he saw a fallen Eve, and Adam had not yet fallen himself. Eve was now spiritually dead, and her light would have gone out, as it were. Adam, yet unfallen, would still be a spiritual light, and we wonder, what did Adam see when he beheld a fallen Eve? But Adam makes a choice, and Adam's choice is to become a sinner for his wife, his bride Eve. The Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam, who knew no sin and him is no sin, became sin for us, his bride, the church, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Ephesians 5:25 states that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What a choice the Lord Jesus Christ made, to go to the cross, shed his precious blood for our sin and for the sin of the world. Turn with me now to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. Galatians 5 and 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time, just that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." In verse 17 we read, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Here we see that yielding to the flesh prevents us from doing what the Spirit requires of us. And verse 25 states, "If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." In verse 25, we are challenged to live and walk in the Spirit. But how do we do this? The answer is in verse 16, which reads, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. How then do we, as believers today, walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of our flesh? The answer is simple. It comes down to choice. We either choose to say yes to the Spirit and no to our flesh, or yes to our flesh and no to the Spirit. So that the more we say yes to the Spirit, the more we shall walk in the Spirit and do not fulfill the lusts of our flesh. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 reads, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." To be able to walk in the Spirit, we need to know what the Spirit is saying. To walk in the Spirit, we need to know what the Spirit is saying to us. And the Spirit speaks to us through the word of God. So we need to study God's word. We can see that we have we can see that we have chosen to walk in the Spirit this morning by the fact that we are here this morning. Because we have followed the Lord's command, "This do in remembrance of me," Luke 19. So that by the fact that we are here this morning, we have walked in the Spirit and not fulfilled the lusts of our flesh. Because our flesh would have told us this morning to stay at home and to have a lie in or some other excuse. But we believers find it more difficult to walk in the Spirit and to attend the gospel meeting. So we give in to the lusts of the flesh and stay away from the gospel meeting. And then it becomes more difficult to walk in the Spirit and to attend the prayer meeting. And again, we fulfill the lusts of the flesh and stay away from the prayer meeting. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. Verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, but what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord have Christ with Belial? Or what part have he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord." Come out from among them, and be ye separate. We as believers find separation hard. Believers be in assembly membership with unbelievers. Young believers who are maybe looking for to find a wife or a husband often choose an unbeliever. And the scripture says to be ye separate. But turn with me now to 1 Corinthians. The separation does not apply to the wife or to the husband who is married to an unbeliever. Verse 12 says, "But to the rest speak I not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which have an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" The testimony of the wife or the testimony of the believing husband may help to bring their respective spouse to that place of repentance where they come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that through the course of a day, believers have to make many choices. And as we live our daily lives, we can choose to walk in the Spirit and not to fulfill the lusts of our flesh. We can say yes to the Spirit and no two in her flesh. In James chapter 3 and verse 5, which states, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth not the whole body, that it defileth the whole body, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things of the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either of fine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not, and be not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. There is confusion and there is confusion on every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. If we believers say no to gossip, we shall choose to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of our flesh. For the tongue is very capable of destroying another believer's testimony. And indeed, by our tongues, we are capable of destroying our own testimony. We say no to gossip, and we say nothing at all. We choose to walk in the Spirit and not to fulfill the lusts of our flesh. If we indulge in gossip, we could be guilty of telling lies, and we are fulfilling the lusts of our flesh. Devilish. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 states, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But James 4 and 7 reads, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do we resist the devil? Well, the Lord gives us the example in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up with the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. And Bert says it translates, since thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. The devil says, command that these stones be made bread. The Lord answers, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Then the devil says, since thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Quoting Psalm 91, verse 11 to 12. The Lord answers, it is written again, thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. Quoting Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. And Psalm 91, verse 11, when the devil leaves out to keep thee in all thy ways, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. The devil says, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The Lord answers, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Chapter 20, verse 3 to 5. The devil knows the word of God, but he misquotes the word of God. He leaves out the words, keep thee in all thy ways. The Lord replies to Satan's tests. With it is written, quoting the word of God, and verse 11 states, then the devil leaveth him. And here we see that we need to know the word of God to be able to resist the devil. And when the devil quoted Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12 to the Lord, here we see that the devil has knowledge of the word of God. So we can see again that we, as believers today in the Lord Jesus Christ, need to study the word of God to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth, to be able to give an answer to the devil when he calls, and to give an answer to the hope of our calling to all who ask us questions concerning our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 and verse 16 reads, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a choice God the Father made to give his only begotten Son to save a world of sinners lost. If you are listening to this message, wherever you may be, and you're not saved, then you also have a choice to make. And the right choice for you to make is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and to be saved. Or if you continue in your unbelief, you will perish. The choice is yours to make. the right choice and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. So be saved today, because we cannot boast ourselves of tomorrow, because we do not know what a day may bring forth. And we as believers must choose to walk in the Spirit, then we will not fulfill the lusts of our flesh. Joshua long ago said to the children of Israel, "Choose ye this day whom ye shall serve." And he answered, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24 and 15. Choices that we make. Amen. Would you close in prayer, David?
Father, we give you thanks once again for our time here this morning.
Yes.
Thank you for your word, for your word is truth.
Yeah.
Light on our feet, the lamp on our path. Yeah. We thank you, Father, for the love that you gave of God,
yeah,
and the challenge of the message, Lord. The word speaks for itself, Father.
Amen.
And we know that, Lord, that it's a two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
And we pray that, Lord, that not may I go on unheeded. In these days, Father, we think of the choices that we've made and
yes,
they haven't been the right ones, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that, Lord, you haven't washed, wiped us away, but, Lord, you've kept us, Lord, and give us that access that we've had, Lord, to come and confess our sins, Lord. We pray, Father, in these days for help, Lord, that we'll be open to the Spirit, Lord, that dwells within us, that, Lord, will go in faith in the Spirit, Lord, that we will trust in the Word of God, Lord. We realize, Father, that Adam and Eve, Lord, and that we're in a unique relationship with their God, their Creator,
yeah,
and that, Father, they forgot the purpose. Person could say, Father, they forgot the purpose of the gifts that were given to them.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, that they choose the things they wanted for themselves, Father.
Mm-hmm.
And how often, as our prayers already said, Lord, that we choose the things that we want to do, Lord, which is not what you want us to do, Father. And we believe, Father, truly, as I sit here, Lord, and receive, listening, Lord, that, Lord, that's why things are not happening amongst the saints, Lord. Because we're not doing what we should be doing. And we're not saying what we should be saying, Lord. And we're not the witness that we should be witnessing, Lord. And that, Lord, we pray that in these days, Lord, you would help us go before, and Lord, that we would be better men and women for Christ in these terrible times that we're in, Lord.
Yeah.
When man doesn't want to know anything about God, doesn't believe God, not afraid of God, and that, Lord, we know this morning, Lord, that the wonderful gift that God has given us, Lord, that we're washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, and there's a terrible, terrible judgment day coming, and that not, Lord, the people, Lord, but even members of our family, if we're not saved, Father, we'll get to this terrible place. And Father, we would ask you that you'd help us and undertake. Thank you for our Sam. Thank you, Father, for the ministry you bought, the challenge of it, Lord.
Yeah.
And we thank you for the love you gave him. Pray, Lord, God, that you take us from this place, take us to our homes in safety. Let nothing befall us by the way, Father. And that, Lord, when we return again, we would ask you, Father, that you would undertake for our hall as we travel on to bring the wonderful gospel of our Savior and Lord. This we do ask, this we do pray in the Savior's love and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Richard.